still come back to what I thought from the very beginning. If anybody asks me why, it's Indiana. It's Indiana.
Welcome back to Podcast on the Brink. I'm your host, Greg Rosenstein. As always, I'm joined by Matt Dollinger. How's it going, Matt?
Going well. I'm excited for our Leap Day edition. Should be a good one.
Yeah, I agree. IU is coming off of a big win over number 5 Michigan State last night. They won by 15 points. We will talk about that momentarily. We also have ESPN college basketball reporter Dana O'Neill to talk about the Michigan State win and looking back at the Big Ten. We'll talk to her in a few minutes. But first, Matt, what were your overall thoughts on last night's game?
Oh, you know, I thought it was probably the best of IU's three big wins this year, including Kentucky and Ohio State. You know, Michigan State was only ranked 5th, but I think that was IU's most complete win. They played so well on both sides of the ball. And, you know, at this point of the year, this is really the Hoosier team that's going to be going into the tournament. And I think Tom Crean has his team playing better than it has all season at the right time of the year. What about you?
I agree. I mean, you want them to peak at this point. Now, we saw, you know, about a week ago when they didn't show up against Iowa. And so we're thinking, oh, where is this team at? But, you know, it was kind of, looking back, it might have just been a fluke because this team dominated Minnesota on the road, which, even though it is Minnesota, the Barn is not an easy place to play. And last night, they just throttled Michigan State from the beginning. I loved Victor Oladipo from the start. He really brought the energy. He was basically getting the line at will in the beginning. And Oladipo, I think, was maybe the key guy last night out of anybody.
Yeah, it was early season Oladipo, too. I mean, that guy looked familiar. It'd been a while since we've seen him, but he was just so aggressive. And he is one of the fastest players in the Big Ten. And you don't really know because he doesn't always take advantage of it. But when he takes his man off the dribble from the top of the key, as we saw him do a lot last night, it's impossible to stay with him. As long as he holds on to the ball, which isn't always a sure bet, he is really dangerous in isolation.
Yeah, a guy that size with that speed. I mean, I said this on Twitter yesterday. If he ever develops a jump shot, he could really be a first-round NBA pick.
Yeah.
He's just kind of spotty, you know, shooting it. But in terms of driving, who's better than him right now? I haven't seen too many guys better than him at just getting to the hoop.
Yeah, no, and that's what he did so well against Michigan State. And, you know, like I said earlier, it'd been a while since we'd seen Oladipo play like that. And I think he was probably a little extra inspired because he started the game checking Draymond Green. And, you know, he did his best the entire game. But as we saw, Draymond Green cannot be stopped by one man, especially with the Hoosiers roster, apparently. He was something else last night. He was in beast mode the entire time.
He was in beast mode. He had 29 points. But the thing that, you know, sticks out when you look at the stat sheet, he was the only guy who finished in double figures on Michigan State. So that just shows defense, you know, it's like Draymond Green, you knew going in, you weren't going to stop him. You just had to limit him. Excuse me. You know, he had 29 points, but no one else did really anything. So in a contrast, IU had 5 players in double digits. So, you know, you're looking at the stat sheet, you see 13 Michigan State turnovers, and just the overall defense was good, especially you're looking at Christian Watford. He had 14 rebounds. When was the last time you saw that?
No, it's been a while since we've seen Watford do that well in the glass. And the thing about Green was when he scored 16 straight points during that stretch, the first half of it was, why aren't the Hoosiers guarding him better? The second half of it was, well, that's as good as they can do. He was just, you know, hitting shots in different players' eyes last night, and he was something else. But as you said, Michigan State had nothing else really going, and no one else scored more than 8 points on their team. So it's tough to win like that.
Agreed. And another guy that we've kind of, you know, talked about recently is struggling is Jordan Hulls. And I thought he had a pretty good bounce back game. Crean must have said something because he came out shooting early, which hasn't been the case, you know, the past week or two. And I thought he had a pretty nice bounce back game. What do you think about Jordan Hulls last night?
Yeah, he was aggressive again. I thought he did a great job. You know, you could tell by the way he dribbles the ball in the fast break whether he's got his confidence or not. And last night he was really running the break well, I thought. And I also thought Verdell Jones had another good game. And I think he might have found his role on this team as the sixth man. That's something we talked about early in the year as maybe a potential landing spot for him, just because when he is in the game, the ball really needs to be in his hands. And there were a couple times last night when the shot clock got down late, and, you know, that's when the guys on IU usually turn to Verdell to do something. And he did a great job, finished with 12 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists. And if that's what the Hoosiers can, you know, depend on out of Verdell, they're going to be a lot better down the stretch.
Yeah, I know Verdell is a guy that, you know, we've criticized and a lot of the fan base has criticized this past year, but Recently, he has done a very good job. Last night, he was good. And you're right. These guys are really learning their roles, and I think they know it at this point. You know, going into the season, they might have not been as, you know, not sure exactly what their role was on this team. But now everyone knows that Vrdell is playing smart for the most part. And, you know, Pritchard, Pritchard is also another unsung hero of this team, really. Did I just say hero? I don't want to take that back. He's not a hero. But Pritchard laid a killer screen on an Oladipo dunk last night. And I just think everybody, like you said, everybody is learning their roles. They know what is expected of them. And at this point in the season, that you can't really ask for much more.
115-point win in the Vrdell and Pritchard love is just flowing on Podcast on the Brink.
Yeah, I'm sure we're going to go back to criticizing them next week, but
well,
still.
You know, something you mentioned before I want to go back to was, you know, criticizing Vrdell Jones, and I've done that just as much as anyone. And I think people criticize him in particular because they know he can do better. I mean, it's obvious he's talented. Sometimes, though, you know, it just goes to waste, you feel like. And last night was a reminder of the things he can do and how much better the Hoosiers are when he's playing well. And he really is the guy they turn to, you know, when the offense stalls or when there's 7 seconds left on the shot clock and they know have nowhere else to go. Of everybody on the team, he can create his shot the most. And that's why IU needs him to play well in order to be their best.
Exactly. And, I mean, like you said, just this team – it's important that this team is able to close games now. You know, it's like in the past, there have been times where they've had a lead like this and they've blown it. Yeah. And you kind of saw early in the second half, Michigan State started to creep in. They cut the lead to 6 at one point, but then Indiana finished on a 15-6 run to end the game. They didn't panic at all. I don't know how much of that is being in Assembly Hall. Maybe that, you know, comforts them a little bit, knowing that they have the fan support behind them right now. But, you know, they did a good job closing. They were poised down the stretch, and I think that's going to be huge, kind of looking forward to the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, Crean has said repeatedly that the next step for this team is being able to win close games, and that's exactly what we're seeing. I mean, the Hoosiers had a similar lead in East Lansing against Michigan State, and they blew it and lost that game. And last night, I think the lead got cut to 6 a couple of times.
Yeah.
And, you know, they were able to hold off the surge, and that's something that the Hoosiers are still learning and still getting better at, but we're actually seeing them win some of those battles now, and that's definitely an sign of an improved team. And also, Crean got his first win over Tom Izzo last night, so I'm sure that was a little sweeter than usual.
I'm sure this has been a win that he's been wanting for years, really. I mean, last year when IU went to Michigan State, they kind of blew it on free throws. They had a chance to win in East Lansing. Last night it was just, you know, a good win. I'm sure, you know, coaching there for so long, he's wanted this for a while, especially against his kind of mentor. So, yeah, huge win for the program, especially for him.
Now the Hoosiers have a chance to, you know, wrap up the Big Ten season with a game against the Boilermakers at home. Another game I'm sure they'd love to close the year with. But, you know, they're coming off wins at Minnesota and against Michigan State. We talked a couple days ago with Rick Bozich about how it'd be really good for the Hoosiers to finish 2-1 in those last three games, and they've already won two. Do you think they can keep it going against Purdue, or do you think Purdue, you know, who's also desperate for a win, playing for their you know, conference or NCAA positioning, might be able to steal one in Bloomington?
I think they're going to be able to take care of business against Purdue on Sunday. It's just, I know Purdue is a little desperate because they're trying to solidify their chance in the NCAA tournament. At the same time, this is Purdue. I mean, Indiana is going to get up regardless, no matter what the standings are. They now have a one-game lead in the Big Ten standings. I know it's kind of close there for that 5-6 seeding in the Big Ten tournament, but I think this is Indiana. They're going to get up for Purdue. There's no doubt. And You could, you know, outside of that Iowa game, you can make a statement that this is the best they've played. So if Indiana was able to handle their business in West Lafayette, they're going to be able to do it at Assembly Hall, where it's almost impossible for teams to win.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think Indiana's going to win on Sunday, but the Boilermakers are not to be underestimated. They beat Michigan in Ann Arbor last week, the first road team to do that this year. And, you know, they're going to be just as psyched up for this game as Indiana is to play them. That said, Assembly Hall tends to be a pretty special place when the Hoosiers are bad. The fact that they're cruising should be the difference this weekend. I'm going to go ahead and say Indiana will win. And we're going to talk more about that game when we come back from the break. We'll be joined by our guest, ESPN College Hoops reporter Dana O'Neill. Welcome back to the show. We are now joined by a very special guest, ESPN College Hoops reporter Dana O'Neill. How you doing, Dana?
I'm doing great, thanks. How are you guys?
Oh, we're doing well, and we really appreciate you coming on the show. We enjoy reading you on ESPN, and we know you've been following the Hoosiers some this year. What did you think about their 70-55 victory over Michigan State last night?
I thought it was really impressive because you could say that Michigan State didn't play well, but certainly Indiana had something to do with that. I mean, they took them out of their game, really defended well, especially, you know, I mean, obviously Draymond Green's going to get his points, but everybody else sort of was limited completely. And I really liked how tough Indiana played. I'd spoken to Tom Crean yesterday before the game. He said that when the Hoosiers kind of embrace the physicality of the game, that's when they play their best. And I think against Michigan State, that's the only way you can win. And I think Indiana did that. They weren't afraid to kind of go toe-to-toe and head-to-head with Michigan State, and that's why they won that game.
Now, you went to Indiana earlier this year and saw Assembly Hall, I think for the first time. Is that right?
Yep, against Kentucky.
That was the first. Yeah, well, so you chose a good game to go to. You know, watching it on TV, it seemed really loud, seems to really impact how this team plays. What do you think of Assembly Hall overall, and how much do you think that factored into last night's game?
Well, you know, I certainly think there's something to be said for a home court advantage. I don't discredit that at all. I mean, you know, these guys feed off of the energy, and the energy in that building when it gets like that is just incredible. I mean, there's just, you kind of, I think, shots that you don't think you can make, suddenly you got the extra adrenaline boost to score. But, you know, at the end of the day, you have to be talented enough to play. I mean, Indiana has had, you know, I think, supportive fans through all of this rebuilding process, impressively so, and they haven't exactly gotten all the wins all the time. So, you know, I think it's a great combination of a very good team and just a raucous home environment.
You know, you mentioned something that the telecast also talked about last night, that maybe Hoosier fans appreciate, you know, this season a little more since they had to go through the last three. Now they've got 23 wins. They're one short of doubling last year. Do you think that maybe Indiana fans are a little bit happier this year than normal because of how brutal the last couple of years have been?
Well, sure. I would think so. I think it's like anything else. When you're denied something for so long, something you've grown accustomed to, you miss it. I mean, it's very easy to get complacent. And when you go to the NCAA tournament year after year after year, you think it's easy and you just take it as a birthright. And when it's denied and when you've kind of fallen on your face and you're embarrassed, it hurts. It hurts everybody. And so to come back from that, I think, is very rewarding. I don't think that that is at all... I think that's a very strong and honest statement. I do think, like I said, I will give them credit for sticking through it when they didn't have to. A lot of fans would abandon ship as they were trying to put this back together, and the Indiana fans didn't, which tells you their true passion for the team. But yeah, there's no doubt that people are enjoying this more, and they should.
Everybody looks at Zeller as the guy who's turned this around. I know you profiled him earlier this season, and you know a lot about Zeller. He has been the catalyst to this success coming back. But in your eyes, has there been anyone else in particular that's really stepped up, or has there been any other part of this team that, you know, outside of Zeller has led to this success coming back?
Well, I think it's the maturation and the growth process for all of them. I mean, just everybody getting more experience and more time under the belt. I've really been impressed, especially lately, with Victor Oladipo, just the energy that he brings on the court and the passion. I mean, I know sometimes, you know, he can go a mile a minute and it could cost you, but you've got to love somebody who's fearless and who plays with an energy that everyone can feed off of. And I think he brings that. I think that's critical for a team that's still getting accustomed to winning. You need to have someone sort of to rally you once in a while, and he's been that guy. So I've been very impressed with him. But I do think, just generally speaking, this is a team that has sort of weathered the storm and has gotten better together collectively.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, Oladipo really is the leader of this team sometimes. You know, he's only a sophomore, but there's not too many guys on IU who are really, you know, guys who are comfortable speaking up. And Oladipo kind of matched Draymond Green last night, not in the points column, mm-hmm. but kind of on his energy on the floor. And I think, you know, a couple of those times where Draymond Green had huge plays, you know, he's yelling and everything, that could be kind of a morale killer to you when you see someone, you know, just kind of enforcing or imposing their will on you. But Oladipo came up with a couple of huge plays last night that kind of matched him. What did you think about Draymond Green last night? Do you think that kind of maybe sealed his Player of the Year award in the Big Ten?
You know, I would hope so. I mean, I just think, you know, I know when you do it statistically, I mean, you know, scoring and rebound, he and Jared Sollinger are kind of 1-2, but then you have to look beyond that. You know, what Draymond Green does in terms of assists and skills, he's ranked in categories that Sollinger's not. And beyond that, take the statistics out of the equation, you have to take Draymond Green out of the equation for Michigan State, and what have you got? Now, I know you could say the same for Jared Sullinger, but he's such a leader, and he's such a go-to guy, and he's such a presence for them, and this is a very young team, really, that Michigan State has, and he's pretty much put them on their back. So I would think he had it going in, but if anybody has any lingering questions, I think he answered them last night against Indiana.
Yeah, I think there's no doubt that he's the most valuable player to any team in the Big Ten, just like he said. And, you know, I've been a fan of his for a while. He just does so many different things, and he really impressed me with his outside shooting last night. I've never seen him really shoot the ball like that mm-hmm. before, and, you know, IU was doing a pretty good job in defensively, but he was just in the zone last night. Greg, what'd you think about him?
Yeah, I mean, he was hitting from outside. He was posting guys up. He even dunked on Christian Watford last night.
That was a good one.
Yeah, that was pretty nice. I mean, he is the heart of this team. And if you haven't read Dana's piece, she profiled him a couple days ago. And actually, I learned one thing. I don't know why I didn't hear this before, that he was going to go to Kentucky before Tubby Smith left for mm-hmm. Minnesota. So, you know, even though I'm not a huge Michigan State guy, I definitely prefer them over Kentucky. So, yeah, if you haven't read that piece, check it out. But, yeah, Draymond Green was great last night. He was basically everything for that team. I'm a little surprised that the other guys, kind of like Appling or Wood, those guys didn't really have the games that they were supposed to last night, though.
Yeah, you know, I thought Appling was really the problem last night. He just wasn't a presence, I mean, at all. Wasn't a factor in the game at all. And, you know, as much as Draymond Green can do, he can't do everything for you, and you really need good guard play just in any game against any opponent, and they just didn't get that last night. Now, you know, they could have been – they played a bunch of games, but I don't think – you know, I don't think I'm going to write Michigan State off by any means. It was a bad night made worse by Indiana, I think.
We're heading to the Big Ten tournament next week, and there's about, I think, a consensus that there's five teams atop of the Big Ten that are better than the rest: Michigan State, Ohio State, Michigan, Wisconsin, Indiana. Dana, where do you think Indiana kind of, you know, ranks in that pack? I don't think they're quite at the top. Would you say they're somewhere in the middle?
Yeah, you know, I think Michigan State and Ohio State are sort of 1-2, and then after that, Wisconsin, Indiana, and Michigan. I think you can kind of throw them in a basket and see which one emerges. I think that any one of them could come out of this. You know, first of all, any one of them could win it. I mean, you know, crazy things happen in conference tournaments. So I wouldn't write off saying that, you know, Michigan State or Ohio State's going to win it. I don't think that's what this league is going to be about next week. I really don't. But I think, you know, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Indiana all have the similar, you know, in terms of their abilities. But what I like about Indiana maybe a little bit more than the other two, especially more than Wisconsin, is their ability to score. I mean, you know, Wisconsin's defense is terrific, but eventually you do have to score. That's part of the game. And so Indiana can do that. Indiana can put points on the board from all different positions. And I think that that's a huge advantage when you're looking at, you know, those three teams, how Indiana can kind of separate itself.
If you could win without scoring, I'm pretty sure Wisconsin would do it pretty regularly, though.
Yeah, if you could claim a 2-0 win, I think Wisconsin under Florida State, I think they could probably run away with it, absolutely.
Looking at Michigan State, just, you know, they're still probably the clear-cut favorites to win the Big Ten, but how much does last night's loss kind of impact them heading into the tournament?
Well, I think I don't think it's going to demoralize them, but it's certainly a reminder that the margin for error for them is very slim. I think, you know, everyone's been kind of screaming about Michigan State and how great they are for the last couple of weeks, and, you know, you start to kind of walk with your chest out a little bit more, which you should, but I also think it's not a bad thing to be reminded that, you know, you're good, but you're not, you know, upper echelon. You're not Kentucky. I mean, you don't have five pros in your roster, so you've got to – the margin for error is very small. So I think it's probably maybe a good reminder. And if I know Tom Izzo, he will belabor that point quite a bit in the next few weeks.
And I'm really interested to see. I think last night might have been the jumping off point for the Tom Crean, Tom Izzo rivalry. We all know they go back, but it'd been a while. You know, Crean had yet to beat Michigan State while at mm-hmm. IU. I think it was 0-7 and finally got that first win, which I'm sure he is enjoying today. What do you think about those two, Dana? Do you think that those two guys could be battling out in the Big Ten for a while?
Absolutely. I mean, it's a good rivalry, and they're good friends. I mean, it's not nasty. It's not mean-spirited, and you have to kind of like those sorts of rivalries. So, yeah, I mean, there's no doubt that Tom Crean has things going at Indiana, and there's no doubt that Tom Izzo isn't going anywhere anytime soon with Michigan State. So, you know, yeah, I think this has a making of something that will kind of add to the allure of it. I mean, make it sort of special because of the relationship between those two. And they're going to butt heads on recruits. So this is where you go. Hopefully they can keep their friendship intact through all of that.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. I remember last year covering a game, a high school game, with Gary Harris, who happened to hit a half-court shot yesterday to win a game. And, you know, you see these two together, but they're going after the same player. It's kind of strange to see, like, rivals like that going after the same high school guys. But, looking at this Big Ten tournament, you kind of said anyone could win. Is there a team, I know, you know, you look at Purdue, Northwestern, Iowa, Illinois, they're all still trying to solidify their chances of maybe making the NCAA tournament. Are any of those teams maybe potential to go kind of deep? I know Penn State went kind of far last year to the championship game. Anyone like that you see making a deep run?
If anybody of that, I mean, if anybody in that group, I think maybe Purdue. They've been playing better lately. I think that's, a huge advantage for a team that's had to kind of get their legs underneath them with Robbie Hummel back in the lineup. They've got great players, and he's been playing very well, which is so important for them. And I think they won one of their last five, just losing to Michigan State, I think, in there. So that's a team that's sort of on a roll, that's got senior leadership. I mean, it's got a team and a guy in Hummel that's so hungry to kind of get something back that he had lost. So that, to me, could be a dangerous team for sure.
I think of that group, Illinois worries me a little bit as well. You're right, Purdue is definitely the toughest of there. But at this point, I think, as we saw kind of in their win over Iowa, that Bruce Weber's got nothing to lose at this point. He's going to do. He's desperate. He doesn't really care what happens. And I think
that's the issue. He, basically gave up. He had, a press conference to fire himself.
Yeah, that was weird, yeah.
Yeah, that was a little eerie there. But, Illinois's got as much talent as any of those teams. And I do think that if they do, for some reason, get motivated, they could pull off a couple of upsets. Greg, is there a team there that stands out to you?
I was going to say, I think Northwestern could be kind of tough. I mean, we saw just with the way, just their style of play offensively and defensively, it's kind of different than what a lot of teams run. I know they've been on the cusp of making the NCAA tournament for kind of a while now. You got some dangerous guys. Scherna, even though he has the weirdest shot of all time, goes in. He's a very good player. I mean, you got Crawford, who's stepped up this year, and Sebaluski's been pretty good coming in as a freshman point guard. I think Northwestern could be kind of tough.
Dana, we're about to the point of award season, and the Hoosiers actually have a couple people who are vying for some hardware this year. What do you think about Zeller's chances as freshman of the year? I know he's going against Trey Burke. That's one that, a lot of people are disagreeing on. And what do you think about Tom Crean for coach of the year?
Well, I voted Tom Crean coach of the year in my Big Ten vote that we're coming up with in a couple of days here, just because what he's had to do is hard, and to get a team finally get them there and know that they're there and then actually coach them to win is even harder. I think when everyone expects you to do it, sometimes it's even harder. So, I would give him the coach of the year. I agree with you that the Zeller and the Trey Burke thing are kind of split, but again, I would lean to Zeller only because of the difference in the impact he has made. Now, Trey Burke has made a great impact. I know that from Michigan, but Cody Zeller, you take him out of Indiana, it's not the same team at all. So I would lean to Cody Zeller, but I think it's going to be an interesting race between the two of them. I would think Crean, I think he has a pretty good shot of winning that. I suppose Izzo will get some votes here and there, but I'm not really sure who else would challenge Crean for the Coach of the Year honors.
Yeah, I'd agree with both of those, and I'm trying not to be a biased homer here, but... But, I mean, Zeller, you're right. You take away this, you take away Zeller, and you have the exact same team that won 12 games last year.
Right.
So, I mean, the impact he has been great. Trey Burke is obviously a very good player. He's kind of filled the void that Darius Morris, when he left for the NBA. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, people still thought going in Michigan was going to be pretty good. They were returning a lot of guys. I saw some places predicting Indiana to be 10th in the Big Ten. So, I think Zeller should win the Big Ten Freshman of the Year, and I think Crean, just for taking a team like this to where they're at right now, I think he also should be Big Ten Coach of the Year. What do you think, Matt?
Yeah, I would agree with both of you. I think that if the award went to Trey Burke, it wouldn't be a robbery by any means. He's been amazing this year, but Cody Zeller has been kind of doing it on a little bit higher, national profile, so I think he might get the award. Dana, to wrap up, I kind of just wanted to get your impressions on Cody Zeller. As a whole, we talked earlier how you profiled him. You spoke with his family, and I also saw a video you recently did with him where you kind of asked him about comparisons to his brother Tyler, which is, I think, one of the first things that pop into people's minds. What do you think Cody's ceiling is as a college basketball player? Do you Where do you see him going the next couple of years? Do you think he'll stay in Bloomington? And what are your overall thoughts?
It's interesting because a lot of people have asked that question: will he leave? And you know, I have no idea. Obviously, I don't know what he's thinking. And I know how the pull of the NBA can be pretty strong, but I think he's a unique kid. I mean, he's watched his brother Tyler really grow with North Carolina, and not to any detriment. I mean, it hasn't hurt his career and his, you know, his potential pro prospects at all, staying at North Carolina. I'm curious to see how much that impacts Cody. I think it will have an effect on him. I think, you know, he doesn't strike me as the kind of kid who's in a big hurry to do the next best thing. I mean, he seemed very content being a student at Indiana, being a regular kid. He had looked forward to it for a long time. So, you know, I don't have a crystal ball, obviously. I would love it if he would stay. And I guess, I don't know, I just wouldn't be stunned if he did stay. So I guess we'll see.
Dana, my last question is just looking at Indiana, what you kind of see from them the rest of the season. I know, you know, brackets aren't out. We don't know who their potential opponents are at this point. But this team, like about a week ago, we were all thinking, oh, they could lose in the first round because they can't play on the road. And then they just crushed Minnesota at the barn. So, and they beat Michigan State. So, I mean, this team is kind of, you don't really know exactly what to expect. But what do you kind of see going forward with the NCAA tournament?
Well, I agree with him. Obviously, matchups are huge. And look, getting to the NCAA tournament is brand new for these guys. So how they handle all of that is a big, big question. I mean, until you do it, you just don't know. So are they a possible upset in the first round? Sure. I wouldn't be stunned. I also wouldn't say if that happened that should be considered a disappointing season. You have to remember where you're coming from and how hard it is to get back to the NCAA tournament before you label something a disappointing finish. But I also wouldn't say it's out of the question for this team to make the Sweet 16. If they shoot the ball well, if, you know, they're clicking on all cylinders, if they don't have stars in their eyes, they're good enough to do that. So it really depends on the matchups. But as I said, I just think if this, you know, with this team doing what it did this year, this is what everyone's been waiting for. And next year you can start, you know, demanding more in March. Right now, you got there. That should count for something.
Exactly. It's nice to have a reason to watch March Madness for a change for Hoosier fans.
Well, exactly.
Well, Dana, we really appreciate you coming on the show. Great talking to you, and we'll be sure to follow you the rest of the way this season. Always enjoy reading your stuff.
You bet, guys. Anytime. Thank you.
And that will do it for this episode of Podcast on the Brink. Thanks again to Dane O'Neill for coming on the program. Greg and I will be back next week after the Purdue game to preview the Big Ten tournament, so be sure to check back with Inside the Hall. Until then, for Greg Rosenstein, I'm Matt Dollinger. Thanks for listening, and have a good one.
Play. Sir. Yeah. Yeah.
Kane is in the building. Nigga.
Yeah. Alright, already the show goes on all night. Till the morning we dream so long. Anybody ever wonder when they would see the thunder? Just remember.